What do you want?
Yanni asked again. Her voice wobbled. Her eyes were huge. She was trembling. She was thinking rape, murder, torture, dismemberment. Reacher turned on the dome light. I want you to win the Pulitzer Prize.
What?
Or the Emmy, or whatever it is you guys get.
What?
I want you to listen to a story.
What story?
Watch. He lifted his shirt, showed her the tire iron resting against his stomach. She stared at it, or at his shrapnel scar, or both. He wasn't sure. He balanced the tire iron in his palm, held it up in the light. From your trunk, not a gun. He clicked the button on the door and unlocked the car. You're free to go, whenever you want. She put her hand on the handle. But if you go, I go. You won't see me again. You'll miss the story. Someone else will get it.
We've been running your picture all night.
And the cops have got wanted posters all over town.
You killed Alexandra Dupree.
Reacher shook his head. Actually, I didn't, and that's part of the story.
What story?
Last Friday. It wasn't what it seemed.
I'm going to get out of the car now.
No, I'll get out. I apologize if I upset you, but I need your help, and you need mine. So I'll get out. You lock the doors, start the car, keep your foot on the brake, and open your window an inch. We'll talk through the window. You can drive off any time you want. She said nothing, just stared straight ahead as if she could make him vanish by not looking at him. He opened his door, slid out, and turned and laid the tire iron gently on the seat. Then he closed the door and just stood there. He tucked his shirt in. He heard the thunk of her door locks. She started her engine. Her brake lights flared red. He saw her reach up and switch off the dome light. Her face disappeared into shadow. He heard the transmission move out of park. Her backup lights flashed white as she moved the selector through reverse into drive. Then her brake lights went out and the engine roared and she drove off in a fast, wide circle through the empty garage. Her tires squealed, grippy rubber on smooth concrete. The squeals echoed. She lined up for the exit ramp and accelerated hard. Then she jammed on the brakes. The Mustang came to rest with its front wheels on the base of the ramp. Reacher walked toward it, crouching a little so he could see through the small rear window. No cell phone. She was just sitting there, staring straight ahead, hands on the wheel. The brake lights blazed red, so bright they hurt. The exhaust pipes burbled. White fumes kicked backward. Drops of water dripped out and made tiny twin pools on the floor. Reacher walked around to her window and stayed 3 feet away. She buzzed the glass down an inch and a half. He dropped into a crouch so he could see her face.
Why do I need your help?
Because Friday was over too soon for you. But you can get it back. There's another layer. It's a big story. You'll win prizes. You'll get a better job. CNN will beat a path to your door.
You think I'm that ambitious?
I think you're a journalist.
What does that mean?
That in the end, journalists like stories. They like the truth. She paused, almost a whole minute, stared straight ahead. The car ticked and clicked as it warmed up. Reacher could sense the idle speed straining against the brakes. Then he saw her glance down and move her arm and shove the selector into park. The Mustang rolled back 6 inches and stopped. Reacher shuffled sideways to stay level with the window. Yanni turned her head and looked straight at him.
So tell me the story. Tell me the truth.
He told her the story and the truth. He sat cross-legged on the concrete floor so as to appear immobile and unthreatening. He left nothing out. He ran through all the events, all the inferences, all the theories, all the guesses. At the end, he just stopped talking and waited for her reaction.
Where were you when Sandy was killed?
Asleep in the motor court.
Alone?
All night. Roommate. I slept very well.
No alibi.
You never have an alibi when you need one. That's a universal law of nature.
She looked at him for a long moment. What do you want me to do?
I want you to research the victims. She paused.
We could do that. We have researchers.
Not good enough. I want you to hire a guy called Franklin. Helen Roden can tell you about him. She's in this building, 2 floors above you.
Why hasn't she hired this Franklin guy herself?
Because she can't afford him. You can. I assume you've got a budget. A week of Franklin's time probably costs less than one of your weather guy's haircuts.
And then what?
Then we put it all together.
How big is this?
Pulitzer-sized. Emmy-sized. New job-sized.
How would you know? You're not in the business.
I was in the Army. I would guess this is worth a Bronze Star. That's probably a rough equivalent. Better than a poke in the eye with a sharp stick.
I don't know.
I should turn you in. You can't. You pull out a phone and I'll take off up the ramp. They won't find me. They've been trying all day.
I don't really care about prizes.
So do it for fun. Do it for professional satisfaction. He rocked sideways and took out the napkin with Helen Roden's number on it, held it edge on at the crack of the window. Yanni took it from him, delicately, trying to avoid touching his fingers with hers. Call Helen. Right now, she'll vouch for me. Yanni took a cell phone out of her purse and turned it on, watched the screen and waited until it was ready and then dialed the number. She passed the napkin back, listened to the phone. Helen Roden, she said. Then she buzzed the window all the way up and Reacher didn't hear any of the conversation. He gambled that it was really Helen she was speaking to. It was possible that she had looked at the napkin and dialed another number entirely. Not 911, because she had dialed 10 digits, but she might have called the cop's main desk. A reporter might know that number by heart. But it was Helen on the line. Yanni buzzed the window down again and passed him her phone through the gap.
Is this for real?
Helen asked him. I don't think she's decided yet, but it might work out.
Is it a good idea?
She's got resources, and having the media watching our backs might help us.
Put it back on.
Reacher passed the phone through the window. This time, Yanni kept the glass down so that Reacher heard her end of the rest of the conversation. Initially, she sounded skeptical, and then neutral, and then somewhat convinced. She arranged to meet on the 4th floor first thing in the morning. Then she clicked the phone off. There's a cop outside her door, Reacher said.
She told me that. But they're looking for you, not me.
What exactly are you going to do?
I haven't decided yet.
Reacher said nothing.
I guess I need to understand where you're coming from first, Yanni said. Obviously you don't care anything about James Barr himself. So is this all for the sister, Rosemary?
Reacher watched her watching him, a woman, a journalist. Partly for Rosemary.
But?
Mostly for the puppet master. He's sitting there thinking he's as smart as a whip. I don't like that. Never have. Makes me want to show him what smart really is.
Like a challenge.
He had a girl killed, Yanni. She was just a dumb, sweet kid looking for a little fun. He pushed open the wrong door there, so he deserves to have something come out at him. That's the challenge.
You hardly knew her.
That doesn't make her any less innocent.
Okay.
Okay what?
NBC will spring for Franklin. Then we'll see where that takes us.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
You should.
I apologize again for scaring you.
I nearly died of fright.
I'm very sorry.
Anything else?
Yes. I need to borrow your car.
My car?
Your car.
What for?
To sleep in and then go to Kentucky in.
What's in Kentucky?
Part of the puzzle.
Yanni shook her head. This is nuts.
I'm a careful driver.
I'd be aiding and abetting a fugitive criminal.
I'm not a criminal. A criminal is someone who has been convicted of a crime after a trial. Therefore, I'm not a fugitive either. I haven't been arrested or charged. I'm a suspect. That's all.
I can't lend you my car after running your picture all night.
You could say you didn't recognize me. It's a sketch, not a photograph. Maybe it isn't totally accurate.
Your hair is different.
There you go. I had it cut this morning.
But I would recognize your name. I wouldn't lend my car to a stranger without at least knowing his name, would I?
Maybe I gave you a false name. You met a guy with a different name who didn't look much like the sketch, that's all.
What name?
Joe Gordon.
Who's he?
Yankees second baseman in 1940. They finished third. Not Joe's fault. He had a decent career. He played exactly 1,000 games and got exactly 1,000 hits.
You know a lot.
I'll know more tomorrow if you'll lend me your car.
How would I get home tonight?
I'll drive you.
Then you'll know where I live.
I already know where you live. I checked your registration to make sure it was your car.
Yanny said nothing.
Don't worry. If I wanted to hurt you, you'd already be hurt, don't you think? She said nothing. I'm a careful driver. I'll get you home safe.
I'll call a cab. Better for you that way. The roads are quiet now, and this is a distinctive car. The cops know it's mine. They stop me all the time. They claim I'm speeding, but really they want an autograph, or they want to look down my shirt.
She used her phone again and told the driver to meet her inside the garage. Then she climbed out of the car and left the motor running.
Go park in a dark corner. Safer for you if you don't leave before the morning rush.
Thanks.
And do it now. Your face has been all over the news and the cab driver will have been watching. At least I hope he was watching. I need the ratings.
Thanks. Ann Yanny walked away and stood at the bottom of the ramp like she was waiting for a bus. Reacher slid into her seat and racked it back and reversed the car deep into the garage. Then he swung it around and parked nose in a distant corner. He shut it down and watched in the mirror. 5 minutes later, a green and white Crown Vic rolled down the ramp, and Ann Yanny climbed into the back. The cab turned and drove out to the street, and the garage went quiet. Reacher stayed in Ann Yanny's Mustang, but he didn't stay in the garage under the black glass tower. Too risky. If Yanny had a change of heart, he would be a sitting duck. He could picture her getting hit by cold feet or a crisis of conscience and picking up the phone and calling Emerson. He's fast asleep in my car in the corner of the garage at work right now. So 3 minutes after her cab left, he started up again and drove out and around to the garage on First Street. It was empty. He went up to the second level and parked in the slot that James Barr had supposedly used. He didn't put money in the meter, just pulled out Yanny's stack of road maps and planned his route, and then pushed back on the wheel and reclined the seat and went back to sleep. He woke himself up 5 hours later, before dawn, and set out on the drive south to Kentucky. He saw three cop cars before he passed the city limits, but they didn't pay him any attention. They were too busy hunting Jack Reacher to waste time harassing a cute news anchor.